This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hey there, everybody. Thanks for joining us. My name is Adam Ritz, and Jay Baker is on the phone with me. Hi, Jay.
Hey, Adam, thanks for asking me to join you for this amazing program.
It's amazing. We're going to talk public affairs, and we start with a story out of Cincinnati. Last month was National Donate Life Month, and it happens every April to highlight how important it is to be an organ donor. And this is a pretty cool story out of Cincinnati that just came to the awareness of pretty much. It was a national story this week. And it happened in April. Taylor O'Shaughnessy was driving home from shopping, and she saw a yard sign asking for a kidney donor, and with a phone number on the sign. And Taylor O'Shaughnessy actually called the number, found out she was a match, and she donated a kidney to Scott Kassir, who was born with one kidney and needed a kidney. Can you believe this?
Wow. Talk about just a selfless act.
Totally selfless. Completely selfless. She said when she saw the sign, she just thought, well, why not? I've got two healthy kidneys. I'll call and see if I'm a match. And she went through the process, and the hospital confirmed she was a match. Scott was born with one kidney. He learned that he needed the kidney transplant about 2 years ago. The surgery was in April this past month, and both are recovering well. So, you know, when they say the surgery, it's not just for Scott that needs the kidney. She is part of that surgery, too. They need to go in and get her kidney. So the surgeries were last month, both recovering. And now they say in just a matter of these last few months, O'Shaughnessy, a total stranger to Kassir, they have gone to become like family members. I mean, wouldn't you feel like a family member if you went through that?
Well, yes, absolutely. I can't imagine a more personal interchange.
Well, this is a story to remind us all of the importance of organ donation. And I guess the other side of the story is just the resourcefulness of getting this kidney donated was through the yard sign. They put a sign in their yard. The wife of Scott also said that she had the information on a t-shirt for the kidney donation with a phone number, and she wore the shirt traveling throughout America. And the hospital confirmed that this type of tactic works. You know, crazier things have happened. They said that they had a similar story of somebody in China that called about one of their patients and donated a kidney. And so this type of, I guess you could call it marketing, works. So you just have to put the information out there. There's one way to make sure, I always say this to my kids, Jay, there's one way to make sure no one will find out about it, and that is don't put the yard sign there. So,
yeah,
you know, no one's saying you will definitely get a donation when you put the yard sign out or when you wear the t-shirt across the country. But there's one way to make sure you're not going to get the donation. That is, don't put the information out there. So this story is well Googleable. All the networks in Cincinnati covered this. Then they went A, viral, B, national. So I believe even all the national news outlets covered this as well. Scott Kassir recovering from his kidney donation transplant from a total stranger, Taylor O'Shaughnessy. And you hit the nail on the head. What a selfless act.
Oh, it's amazing. And I just got through watching a medical documentary on if you agree to be an organ donor. You know, it sounds graphic, but if you think about it, and that they're putting it in these terms, if you no longer need the organs in your body, they can save up to 20 or 30 lives depending on what you're willing to donate. And that's what they were kind of saying in the documentary. We don't want to get down to, you know, microscience, but almost any part of your body could be helpful in another person's body, it kind of blows the mind a little bit, you know?
It is an amazing technology, just the medical advances, and that is a wonderful number to hear. You could save up to 20 lives with the organs out of your body that you don't need anymore after you pass. So check with your driver's branch, the DMV. You can easily have that changed on your driver's license to you'd like to be an organ donor. A lot of celebrities are involved with organ donation and organ donation awareness. Certainly probably just an easy Google away from finding out more if you'd like to become an organ donor. You know, I had a lovely woman, Carly Oakley, on the program a few months ago. She was the recipient of almost the exact same situation. She was born with one kidney. She needed a new one. A total stranger donated her kidney for Carly, and I had her in studio for a one-on-one conversation. That episode is on our website. If you'd like to check it out in podcast form, adamritzshow.com is where you can find that.
Wow, that's an emotional story. Here's a little note from our government. You know, sometimes we get frustrated with our government, but they're out keeping track of important things. This was kind of an interesting study. The U.S. Department of Energy revealed which states have the longest commutes. As you know, it's human nature. Adam, you're with some buds and somebody goes, oh yeah, they're doing construction out near where I live, and takes me 45 minutes to get into work. Yeah. It doesn't take long before you got a buddy going, takes me 3 days, and
yeah,
part of it's over a mountain pass. And, you know, people like to pile on. But this was pretty cool. This was based on research from 2022 data to determine the average one-way travel time to work in each state. And, you know, some of the states that are in this, you know, it'll stand out because, you know, they have a prominent city or two. You and I both know that driving in a busy city, no matter what, it can be very trying.
Very frustrating, yeah.
Yeah, but the average commute time across the country is 27 minutes one way. So it's not a crazy amount. I mean, that's a fair time. But that's the national average.
That is, I am absolutely average. It takes me exactly 27 minutes to drive to the radio station. That
there
is amazing. I am completely average. Now, I will admit that I could probably shave at least 6 minutes off that. It would take me 21 minutes to drive to work if I took the interstate. And, you know, a 20-minute drive is not bad compared to 27. But I'm willing to drive the extra 6 minutes to not be on the insanity that is known as the interstate, with the way, certainly don't want to disparage 18-wheelers or their drivers, but there is just so much traffic now, and I can... What was that? Is that your, is that your puppy?
That's our dog falling asleep.
Okay. Is my story that boring?
And don't feel that your story could put a dog to sleep, but apparently it did.
Well... Maybe I should start taking the interstate to work now. That's a sign. I just think that when I approach the exit ramp and the insanity that is, I just think I'm a little safer taking the longer route through the roundabouts at 35 miles an hour to get to work. Maybe I'm officially old now, Jay. I'd rather drive 35 miles an hour to work than 78 miles an hour on the interstate.
Well, I don't think that you're the only one. And I think, you know, depending on where you live and what construction's going on, it can be pretty much the roll of the dice as to whether the interstate is going to be smooth and green or full of lots of stops. New York is the state with the longest commute time in the country. Their average is 33.2. Undoubtedly, that's the greater New York City driving environment, which I have heard is not for everyone.
It is terrible. Yeah, I've flown into LaGuardia. You take an Uber to Times Square. You couldn't pay me to live in Manhattan. Not going to happen.
It's a little tough.
But I can't believe it's only 6 minutes longer than the national average.
Yeah, well, you know, and once again, when you take averages, it's like, you know, you and I, when we used to take statistics in school, we should have paid more attention. So, you know, the average is the average, which technically means there's just as many entries above and below that line. So there are probably some extraordinary commutes in some of these very busy areas.
Well, that's, yeah, counting the hour and a half drive into the city. And it's counting the guy that lives in Syracuse, New York, that takes 9 minutes to drive to work.
Yeah, absolutely. Workers in the Midwest have it pretty good. Commutes in Kansas, Iowa, Nebraska, and Montana all average slightly less than 20 minutes.
Ooh, less than 20 minutes. Okay, that's good to know. I didn't know if when you got to those states, if the travel time might be just as high because people live farther away from work.
Yeah, it could be. And I think probably what that conveys is with a lot less congestion, you can kind of pick the more ideal route to work. Because as you said, you have a couple of choices. Everyone does. And maybe because you don't have to worry as much about major city congestion in Nebraska, maybe you can just get there quicker.
There's about 45 different ways I can get to work, depending on, you know, which street I take. And it's something I've made it a game just to think, just to pay attention while driving, because you do not want to zone out. So I'm like, okay, I'll see what different route can I take today? And you just try to find a different alley, a different street, a different roundabout. Stay off the interstate. next thing you know, a dog falls asleep.
the dog. See, Adam, your story was compelling. But yes, and then ironically, as you and I know, we live in a part of the world where a very major intersection is being rebuilt, and that intersection is going to be closed off completely for what length of time, we don't know. Hopefully it won't be too much longer. But it really shows you that knowing a number of alternate routes is a great idea, especially if you ever had to drive someone to a medical facility, or you're trying to get somebody to an important meeting or something like that. So, yeah, good to know. But I thought that was an interesting story in that we all think that, you know, that there's these nightmare commutes. They do exist. I worked in the greater Cincinnati area, and there were certain times of the day you just did not want to be on the interstates. There was no clear-cut way to take an interstate route and not turn it into an hour-long one-way commute.
And thank goodness the citizens of Cincinnati had Jay Baker to listen to on the radio while they were stuck in traffic.
I used to drive to the radio station at about the same time period I would be coming home from a party in college. So those were the days. This will show you what the longevity of some music artists have going for them. Pink Floyd and Journey have set new marks on the Billboard 200 album chart.
Okay.
The Dark Side of the Moon re-entered the chart because of all the talk about Pink Floyd during the eclipse.
The eclipse, Dark Side of the Moon. It re-entered the Billboard Hot 200 albums. Oh, that's great.
It's now part of, as of the time we speak, 989 weeks on the charts. Holy cow.
That is amazing. And you know, it'll come back on the charts in the year 2044 when the eclipse comes back.
When the eclipse comes back. Now, you and I know the power of greatest hits album. Kind of the famous one is the Eagles' Greatest Hits, which at the time was an album that the Eagles just put out because they just had really run a creative course and didn't even really feel like being around each other. I think Don Henley famously said, give him a greatest hits album, and thought, well, nothing will come of this. That album ended up setting a number of records. But when you hear these numbers, you almost can't believe it. Journey re-entered the charts at number 90, and that marks its 800th week on the chart.
And was it their greatest hits album, or was it Escape?
Their greatest hits album, And I think just some talk came up because the current Journey tour is, you know, appealing to a lot of people. A lot of people are out to see Journey, who I think they're touring with Toto. Is that accurate?
That is correct.
Yes.
Talking about an so 80s nostalgia fest.
Absolutely. So they're back out on the road. Their album is back on the charts. Only Pink Floyd and Bob Marley's Legend album have had more weeks on the chart. By the way, speaking of Bob Marley's Legend, which has been on the charts for 830 weeks, it got revitalized because they just recently released a Bob Marley biopic.
Right, that movie. I was certain when that movie came out, it would revitalize the music downloads. And that movie, I'm aware, is now streaming on the, if not Paramount Plus, somewhere. And if you have that streaming service, you can watch it tonight.
Yeah, you and I should do a public affairs show called Guess the Streaming Service.
Nobody would get it right.
It's become exceedingly more complicated. In fact, it was kind of funny. I was listening to an interview the other day, and I thought, man, that sounds like a great show. Then they got to the end, and they go, it's streaming on blah, blah, blah. And I went, oh, okay.
Yeah, don't have that. There's another $12 a month I need to spend.
Yeah, and trust me, my spouse makes a very interesting look on her face when reviewing the credit card bills for the amount of streaming services, probably a third of which we don't use that often, you know, so adding more would probably not help my case.
My best advice is never add it up. Don't look at what you're paying per month and add it up. You don't want to know.
Speaking of credit card bills, this is a great story. Almost half of Americans have no clue about what a 401k is.
They don't have one, or they don't know what one
they
is?
They don't even know what it is.
That is mind-blowing and sad. I feel a little sad inside.
Yeah, you know how it is. Everybody feels like you need a rudimentary knowledge of different things. We've always said that knowledge of finances is good because obviously you want to be responsible and you want to be able to support yourself. But a new survey suggests that they asked 2,000 Americans about their financial literacy, money habits, and found 43% don't know what a 401k is. So almost half.
That is so discouraging.
It's a little discouraging. I remember, I'm just the messenger.
I'm just thinking, okay, these people, if you don't know how to plan for your future, then I'm an old man now. Here's more proof that I'm an old man. If you don't know how to plan for your future, don't expect me to help pay for yours.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, the poll revealed that only 30% of Americans think they could win a personal finance trivia game. And about a third admit they don't know what interest means in a financial context. Apparently, interest shows little or no interest.
They have no interest.
Literally. They have no interest.
They literally have no interest.
Despite not understanding these things, this is perfect. This is what I love about surveys. 39% of Americans still consider themselves more financially literate than other people. And you probably have heard that famous study in Great Britain. They polled however many thousands of people because the numbers kept repeating themselves and the guy couldn't believe it. The simple question was, are you a better driver than most other drivers? And 78% plus or minus 2% kept saying, well, yes, I'm a significantly better driver than other people. You and I know statistically, no. If you're going to quantify drivers, you're either at the 50% mark above or below.
Right.
You can't have 3/4 of the people claim they're better drivers.
Yeah. Just statistically, if everyone was being honest, you'd have 50% of the people say they were better.
Yes. Yeah, 50% of the people said that. So no matter which way they asked the questions, it kept coming up three-fourths. So three-fourths are better drivers than the other however many.
So, you know, the few percentage points above 50% that think they're better than the other half, we'll give them. Well, you got to have a little leeway there. But what about the people that are around that 70% mark that are just obviously terrible drivers and they think they're better than half? Those are the dangerous ones. They are the dangerous ones. Those are the ones in the high speed lane on the interstate going 49 miles an hour.
Well, you raised an interesting point. You and I live in an area where there's a lot of roundabouts, sometimes called a rotary in other parts of the country. But many of the roundabouts around this area are marked that they are 20 mile per hour roundabouts. But you and I know there's 10 mile per hour guy and 45 mile per hour guy. And they're both in the roundabout at the same time in almost the same position.
Yes. I almost got hit today in a rotary by Mr. 45 mile an hour guy.
Mr. 45 is what I call him.
And I think that, did you say it's about 15 miles per hour, the speed limit inside one of the roundabouts?
Most of them are marked 20. A handful of them are marked 15. Okay. But the only reason I know that is because I've always been curious, because our area has so many drivers that are very comfortable with the rotary or the roundabout. They're a little aggressive in the roundabout. So that's why I always said to myself, I'm going to pay attention to the speed limits, not to be that guy, but just to really know.
Well, Mr. 45 mile an hour guy, too, is one of these drivers that approaches a roundabout with the mentality of, I'm going through this and I might stop if I have to. And that's not the mentality. The mentality, you approach the roundabout with, it's a yield. So you approach with caution. You might end up in a coffin. You approach with caution, slowing down, and look to your left. There's no one there. Then you may proceed. Mr. 45 mile an hour guy today in the Chrysler that almost hit me. I mean, he was flooring it approaching the roundabout. To approach it, he was flooring it. So, yeah, I guarantee you that guy thought he's one of the 78% that thinks he's better than half the country.
Absolutely. He knows what's going on. Hey, now, this is kind of a cool feature. You know, we go to the grocery store, we do our shopping, we throw our stuff in the bass cart or the buggy or whatever you call it. You sidle up to the checkout, you know, some controversy, self-checkout. Some people like it, some people don't. How about no checkout at all?
I like Aldi. It.
Yeah, Aldi is testing this. It's a total checkout-free experience.
At Aldi.
At Aldi. Aldi. It's called Aldi Go. The first major U.S. store to implement this method is currently only in the Chicago area. So they're testing it there to see how it would work. This is very similar. Amazon discontinued this because they discontinued a lot of their Amazon freestanding stores. At one time, you know, Amazon tried all these different concepts, but Amazon had a store where everything inside the store had an electronic sensor on it. Mm-hmm. And if you threw that item into your basket, it was a plastic basket you carried around, it would just add it to your account.
Yep.
So obviously at any time you were free to leave the store. That's my guess as to how this is working for Aldi. Once you put the item in your shopping cart, it's kind of like, okay, now you're free to just take it on home.
Now, do you shop at Aldi?
I have on occasion. I find it to be an interesting store.
It's a great store. I'm not biased because my daughter works for their headquarters in Chicago. Cool. In fact, I've been a fan of the store even before she got that job. But yeah, it's a great store. The thing is, when you're talking self-service auto checkout, you're in the same breath saying that there will not be a checkout person or a cashier. So you kind of can smell the jobs going away in that little sector of the store. So
yes,
there's some mixed feelings on you know, people losing their jobs, but then I have to believe that there are other job opportunities, considering the coding or the software developers it would take to maintain this checkout system.
Yes.
Or the software that needs to be able to run it. So while some jobs may diminish, it may open the door to bigger and better jobs within the same company. So I don't know exactly what's going on there, which one's truer, but I like to think that it's creating bigger and better opportunities for certain people rather than just getting rid of jobs completely.
I would hope so. And you and I know that perhaps checking groceries out at the checkout lane is probably not, I don't know, the most rewarding job. I'm going to guess you could run into some pretty prickly people, you know?
Well, and if it was me, I apologize.
Like, let's say Adam. Well, no. Did I say Adam out loud? Was checking out his groceries.
Now, I want to back up just a hair. You called a shopping cart a bass cart.
The bass cart, which is frequently used,
okay.
Or the buggy, which is used in the southern portions of our country.
I've learned so much today. You call a roundabout a rotary and a shopping cart a bass cart. I am amazed at your brain power today, or my lack of.
Well, there you go. You know, these little handy fun facts, you just never know. When a public affairs show comes along and needs a guy to know the word rotary.
You know, when I'm tonight, when I'm driving with Melissa and we enter a rotary and I say, and I almost get hit by Mr. 45 mile an hour guy. And I say, he should never be driving in a rotary. She's going to go, what? What are you talking about?
Sir, your driving has no place in this rotary. Hey, super quick, because movies are entertainment. I don't want to make it sound like we're trying to do too much entertainment on the show, but Adam and I are big fans of rock biopics, and thanks to the amazing success of the Queen biopic, Bohemian Rhapsody, a lot of new biopics are being green-lighted.
Well, and you know, we just talked about the Bob Marley one. That was a financial success. What else do we have to look forward to?
They are currently filming the Bob Dylan biopic. It started filming in New York City. It's going to be called A Complete Unknown, based on the song lyric.
Did they get Bob Dylan to play Bob Dylan?
It is Timothy Chalamet.
Oh yeah, Timothy
is going to be Bob Dylan.
I can absolutely see it. I'm familiar with him, Timothy Chalamet. Most notably recently in the film Wonka.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and he was Dune and Dune 2. Yeah, he's one of these young flavors of the month guys that has lasted more than a month. He's got a huge acting career in front of him. He's going to be Bob Dylan. Okay, that's cool.
They are going to film a Bruce Springsteen film. Apparently, Jeremy Allen White has been attached to this movie, and it's based on a book called Deliver Me From Nowhere, The Making of Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska. So many Springsteen fans are very smitten with Nebraska, which is a little darker side of some of his songwriting, mm-hmm. So it could be interesting.
And that when he wrote that album in Nebraska, he had a 19-minute drive to the studio.
He did. In the rotary.
All right, we got time for one more biopic mention, if you have it.
I'm just going to give you this name. You know it's going to rock. Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, we should have just started with that and left it. I will absolutely go see the Ozzy Osbourne biopic. Can't wait for the scene where he bites the head off the bat. All right, Jay, thank you so much for joining us. For our listeners, you can join us on social media, Adam Rich Show on Facebook, as well as Instagram, and I am at Adam Ritz on X.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.